to get wired up here.
Thank you. Let us commence our worship together as we sing the hymn on the screen. It's number one in our hymn book. Immortal, invisible, God only wise, in light inaccessible, hid from our eyes. And we stand together to worship. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Our Father and our God in heaven, we unite our hearts in prayer and in worship and in praise. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Heavenly Father, we lift up our hearts to Thee. O God, and we do give Thee thanks. Lord, if Thou art the Almighty, the King of all creation, the one who rules the heavens and the earth. Thou art the Almighty. We praise thee, our Heavenly Father, O God, for thy throne of grace and mercy. And Lord, we praise thee, O God, for the wonder of it all, that we here on earth can draw nigh unto thee, the one who is high and lifted up, the glorious God, the Almighty God, our Heavenly Father. We thank thee in Jesus' precious name. We thank thee, O God, for our Savior. We thank thee for our Mediator, whoever lives to make intercession for us. Lord, we're so glad that there's one who represents us in the heavenly places. There's one who prays for us and intercedes for us, the man Christ Jesus. And, O God, we praise thee, our Father, today, that he became flesh and that he dwelt among us. He was God manifested in the flesh, the incarnate deity. Lord, we thank thee for so great salvation today. We praise thee for the precious blood of the Lamb that was shed upon that cross on Calvary. We thank thee, O God, for that precious work. We thank thee, Lord, for the atoning blood that cleanses from all sin, no matter how deep the sin might be, and no matter how grievous. We praise thee, O God, there is cleansing, perfect present cleansing in the blood of Christ. And we thank thee, our gracious God, that he is all our merit. He is indeed our salvation. Oh, help us, our God, today, we ask, in our time together, in our time of worship and praise, that we would see again and see afresh the preciousness, the beauty, and the wonder of our Lord, that he should come to earth to die for sinful men, hell-deserving wretches such as we are. And Lord, we praise thee, our God, he bore our sins and our sorrows, and he made them his very own. He bore our burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. O our Heavenly Father, fit us, we ask of thee, to meet with thee this hour. We thank thee for the privilege and for the honor of meeting together, to sing thy praises and to open the word of God and to hear thy word. Lord, we thank thee for the precious scriptures. Where would we be apart from the word in this day and age of confusion and of darkness? O God, we praise thee that we have the light of thy precious word. May the word of God be blessed to us this day. Help us, our Father, to worship thee in spirit and in truth. If there be any in today who are yet not converted and saved, we pray, our Father, that even in the meeting, that, O God, they will lift up their hearts and call upon the Lord for mercy and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord, for that wonderful promise. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Save souls among us, we ask of thee, young people, children, perhaps older people as well, who have not yet come to the Lord. Oh, we rejoice that we're in a day of mercy. We're in a day of opportunity. And we pray, our Heavenly Father, Lord, for the prospering of the gospel in these days. We pray for revival. We pray earnestly, our gracious God, for a visitation of the Holy Spirit. Breathe upon us, O breath of God, and fill us with life anew. Take away, Lord, the deadness from us. Take away the formality, going through a ritual. God, have mercy upon us. Lord, we look to thee. Do not pass us by. While on others thou art calling, Lord, we pray that thou wilt visit us. We pray for revival in the whole of the land and for a mighty turning to the gospel and to the Lord Jesus Christ. What is impossible with men, praise God, it's not impossible with God. With him all things are possible. Bless your people here. the congregation here in Armagh, and all they seek to do, Sunday school teachers, those working among the young people, in outreaches. Bless your servant, Brother Macmillan as well, and his wife and family. We do thank you for him. Thank you for your mercy toward him. We pray you'll strengthen him and bless his ministry mightily here in the congregation and undertake for him. O our Heavenly Father, we are debtors to thy mercy, to thy grace. Remember those that bear the rule over us this day. Lord, and we earnestly pray for them, that they might turn to the gospel, that they might be saved, come to a knowledge of the truth as it is in the Lord Jesus Christ. God, have mercy, we pray. We thank thee there is none too hard for thee. We pray, our gracious God, that thou wilt undertake for us. Remember those that can't be with us today. Our Heavenly Father, laid aside, perhaps ill, confined to their homes. And we pray, our Father, that you'll meet with them. And all perhaps who are listening in today online, may there be a word in season to strengthen them and to encourage their hearts and to build them up in their most holy faith. O God, undertake for us. We commit our way to thee in prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We'll read a portion together today from the Word of God. And our scripture reading is taken from Luke's Gospel. Luke's Gospel in the chapter 12. And we'll commence our reading at the verse 13 together. Luke chapter 12 and the verse 13. Luke chapter 12 and the verse 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God. And he said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you with taking thought can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow, they toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knoweth what ye have in need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. And we'll end our reading there, the verse 31. And we trust that God will bless every heart today in the meeting, each and every one, that reading from his own precious word. I'm going to call upon our brother, Mr. Billy Hill, if he will come, please, with the announcements for us. Thank you.
We welcome everyone to our morning service, and if you're visiting with us, you're especially welcome. We also give a special welcome to our preacher this morning, the Reverend Larry Power, one of our retired ministers. Then the announcements for the rest of the week. Tonight at 6 p.m., the prayer meeting in the church hall. 6:30 p.m., the evening gospel service. The Reverend Power will again be the preacher. Tuesday, 6:45 p.m., the children's bright hour in both the church and the Killalea Band Hall. Wednesday, 3 p.m., the broadcast on Radio Star Country. 8 p.m., the midweek prayer meeting and Bible study. The meeting will be conducted by Mr. Stephen Crawford, a fourth-year student at the Whitfield College of the Bible. Last Wednesday, we had a deputation meeting for the ploughing match outreach. The amount collected was £1,319. We thank you for your generous giving. And please remember, you can still give to this very worthy cause. Already, I have received money this morning for it. Friday at 8 p.m., the Youth Fellowship speaker, Mr. David Carson. Saturday, 10:30 p.m., the outreach team will be meeting at the church to walk down into Armagh City Centre for 11 a.m. to do outreach at the Georgian Day. Alternatively, if it suits you better to make your way to the city centre yourself and to meet the outreach team there, that will be fine. And we encourage as many as possible to help with this special outreach. Next Lord's Day, 28th of November, 10:40 a.m., the Sunday School and Bible classes, 11:30 a.m., morning service, 6:30 p.m., evening service. And there's been a change of preacher here. It was originally to have been Mr. Chris Killen, but Chris has received a call to go for surgery, and he's been waiting for this for over 2 years, and he wasn't able to take the meetings. But the Reverend Gordon Ferguson has kindly agreed to step in and preach. As a church, we extend our sympathy to our sister, Mrs. Walker, on the death of her brother, Mr. Wilson Giffen, on Wednesday last. Please pray for Mrs. Walker and the family circle that they would know the Lord's help at this sad time. These are all the announcements.
Thank you, brother, for those announcements that you have brought to us today. We're going to sing the second hymn. It's number 10 in our hymn book. Rejoice and be glad, the Redeemer hath come. Go look on his cradle, his cross, and his tomb. Number 10, and we'll stand again to sing.
Thank you.
Good to be with you here today in Armagh, and to thank our brother for his kind words of welcome here to the congregation today. Let's bow briefly in a word of prayer as we turn to the word today. Let us pray. Oh, our Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to bow in prayer, to be able to meet together in fellowship one with the other, and in fellowship with our God, the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Undertake and bless the word to our hearts, Lord, we ask of Thee. Remember our dear sister, Lord, has been mentioned to us, the loss of her loved one and her family circle. Undertake for her, strengthen her, uphold her, and may she know that consolation that comes from the Savior. Keep thy hand upon the family for good, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let us turn together for a few moments today in this passage of Scripture here in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12 and the verse 16. Luke chapter 12 and the verse 16, where we have the words of our Savior. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. Now the whole purpose of this parable here before us today is to expose the awful sin of covetousness. Covetousness. Note the words in the verse 13. One of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? Now, of course, as we know, it was the right of the firstborn to have and to possess that double portion of the inheritance. That double portion was rightly coming to the firstborn. And perhaps this man here, he wanted an equal share along with him. But note here our Lord's response in the verse 14. He said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? As far as the Lord here was concerned, this was something that was very trivial and very petty. It was an earthly dispute. It was a matter just of an earthly inheritance. But the Lord, of course, goes on in this passage here to lay out before us something far more vital and something far more important. That is our spiritual interest. Our spiritual interest and the salvation of our precious souls. And when we weigh up everything, earthly inheritance, no matter what we gain in this world, however rich we may become, the priority is always this, as we have it in the verse 31, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. So the Lord underlines this here in this parable, in this passage. The spiritual was the most and is the most important thing in this life. To know God and to have fellowship with Him. To know that our sins are forgiven. That we're cleansed in the precious blood. And that we're on our way to glory. And to have an inheritance that will never, ever fade away. So life is more than the material. And of course we find that right throughout the Scripture. Not only in the New Testament, but also in the Old Testament as well. The most vital thing is our relationship with the Almighty God. Now this man here in the parable, he's not condemned here because he was rich. That's not the difficulty at all. He's not condemned either because his ground, his farm, was fruitful. We find right throughout Scripture many rich men that had a good relationship with God and walked with the Lord. So he's not in trouble as regards to that. But verse 17 brings us to the real problem. And we find that the problem is in the mind, and it is in the heart. And we all know how vital our thinking is, how vital the mind is. We are reminded in Proverbs chapter 23 in the verse 7, "For as he," that is a man, "as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." As we think in our hearts, and our mind, our thinking, always reveal who we really are. It is easy for to put on a show, an outward show or an outward demonstration. But the scripture always looks upon the heart. He searches the heart and he tries the reins. The reins there meaning our motives, why we do anything, and what we are really like. But we find here in the verse 17, as I say, the root of the difficulty. He thought within himself, and so his thinking is wrong. And of course, if the mind is wrong, if our thinking is wrong, then our hearts are wrong. Because as we know, truth always comes to the mind, first of all. It must find a place in the mind, and then it must find a lodging place in the heart. But if a man's thinking is wrong, he is wrong. He's fundamentally wrong. And so it was here with this man in the parable. And brethren, don't we find that that is the problem today in our world and in our society? What is wrong? The mind is wrong. We find that multitudes of people everywhere, and we have to confess, we who are saved today, that before our conversion, we were no better. We were no better. Our minds were wrong, and our minds were set upon the material and upon the earthly, and we had no thought, no interest whatever in the things of God. We had no heart for God. It was all about the here and now. And of course, the here and now is soon going to pass, and so will we. Are you saved today in the meeting? Have you come to Christ? Do you know him as your Lord and Savior? Are you ready for eternity? Or are you living just for this old world and for the material? And we ought to hold everything with a very light grasp, a very light hand. How quickly it can be taken from us. But we want to consider first of all here, let us consider first of all here his earthly goods. And again, this man's mind here is exposed in the parable, who perhaps wanted the same share as his brother. Now note what it says in the verse 17 and the verses 18. He thought within himself, "What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits." He's speaking about his fruits. He speaks in the verse 18 here. He says, "This will I do. I will pull down my barns." So the fruit is his as far as he's concerned. And to a certain extent, of course, that is right. They were in his possession. But did he ultimately own them, really? So he talks about his fruit, my barns. And again in the verse 18, the latter part, "I will bestow all my fruits and my goods." Now, of course, it is true, not just of this man here in the parable, brethren, but it is true of every one of us. All that we have today, all that we have, whether it be much or little, all that we have has been entrusted to us. It has been entrusted to us. If you like, it has been leased to us. Now, we all understand that business. Farmers here, perhaps in the meeting today, and you have leased land over the years. You might have leased it for 12 months, or for a couple of years, you have leased it from another man. But it's not really yours, it still belongs to your neighbor or whoever. But you have leased it, and you use it for that time. And of course, it is true with all that we have today. We're not to despise what God has given to us. We're to be industrious, we are to work, and we're to enjoy the fruits of our labors. But oh, brethren, today let us not forget all that we have has been leased to us by the Almighty God. He can take it whenever he pleases. We're custodians, as it were. And it was God who allowed this man to have these things. It was God allowed him to have it. He didn't have them by chance or by luck, as some people call it. And you see today all that you have, whether it be your business, your farm, whether it be much or little, it has been given to you and to me by lease. And God has allowed you to have it. And he has prospered you in your way. And we owe everything to the Almighty God. The one that we sung about today in the hymn. We owe everything to him. And it is God who gives the power and the ability for to do well in these things. But oh, how we need to have the priority right. And to ever keep our minds and our hearts set upon the kingdom. And to seek first the kingdom of God. Not to be seeking more and more in this world. Now, if we turn our Bibles for a moment, we see this so very clearly. That it is the Lord who allows, and it's the God who gives gifts, and it is God who prospers. We have it there, for example, in the Psalm 65 and in the verse 9. Psalm 65 and the verse 9. Note what he says here, thou visitest the earth. It is God who visits the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn when thou hast so provided for it. So God visits the earth. It is God who supplies our need. It is God who enriches this earth of ours. We have it again in the Psalm 68 and in the verse 19. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. God provides. You know, over the past few weeks, we've had a great lot of talk and a great lot of debates about global warming. Global warming. But it's God who visits the earth. It's God who sends the cold weather and the warm weather. It's God who's in charge of these things. And it is God who enriches this earth of ours. And all is in his hand. It's not in the hands of men. And millions and billions and billions are going to be spent. You see what I said a moment ago, what is wrong? The minds of men are wrong. The minds of men are wrong. This earth of ours has always heated and cooled again. Heated and cooled again. But that's what happens, you see. Strong delusion comes in when God is shut out and the word of God is ignored. You know that verse that we have in the book of Acts, chapter 17 and the verse 28? When we think of all that we owe to God, what does it say there? In him we live and move and have our being. That's why we're in the church today. That's why we have a measure of health and strength. Everything is leased to us. And in him we live and move and have our being. That's amazing, isn't it? Can't move a hand. Can't take a step. You can't draw a breath apart from God. We owe everything to him. And the Apostle Paul there reminds us even, of course, concerning the believer. in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and in the verse 19. He says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price." Ye are bought with a price. And Job reminds us, of course, he says, "The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." No wonder, men and women, there's so much confusion. A denial of God. Denial of God. When God is left out, the mind is dark. And this man here, he said to himself, "All of this is mine. I'm going to do what I like with it, and I'll discharge it as I please. It is mine. It is mine." But oh, how disappointed he became. Now you see, he thought, secondly, that the material things would satisfy his soul. The material would really satisfy him. You see, he said in verse 19, "I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." What this man here is really looking for, he's really looking for security. He's looking for security. He pulls down the old barns, he builds bigger ones. He's looking forward to a long, long life, years. And he's thinking to himself, "I'm going to live a long time, and it's going to take a right bit to keep me going." And so he is seeking more and more. And so he wants to lay up much goods for himself for many years to come. He's occupied with himself. And what he has in mind is this, that all is going to be well. All is going to be well. I can look forward to an old age, good old age, put my feet up, enjoy my meals. Other people may be in want, but not me. Not me. How sad. The scripture tells us, you know, and we've heard, you know, this verse so very well. This man is meditating. Yes, he's thinking. And he is very serious about the whole matter. "Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." But he has no thought of God. No thought of God. He has no interest at all in the Almighty. How true the scripture, the fool has said in his heart, "There is no God. There is no God for me. The whole thing is foolish. It is madness." The psalmist says, "My meditation of him shall be sweet." My meditation of him shall be sweet. This man is not meditating upon God. How much time do you and I meditate upon God? Every day. How much effort do you and I put into this wonderful thing of edifying? We're edified, brethren, when we think about God. We're strengthened. I was amazed recently reading through the Psalms how much we read about the strength of God. God is my strength. We're living in a weak generation, weak in every way. But God is our strength. This man here has no strength spiritually. No strength whatever. He was created. Isn't it very sad? Because he was created in the image of God. This man here in this parable, he was created in the image of God. And he was created so that he might glorify God and enjoy him forever. Enjoy him. This man is not enjoying God. He doesn't know God. He's gone to a great deal of bother and expense in pulling down the old barns and building new ones. Eternity is before him, but he's just blanked it out, as it were. He's just blanked it out. How wonderful to think upon who we are and to think upon the Almighty and what he has done for us. Again, there in the Psalm 74, in the verse 17, we read these words, "Thou hast set all the borders of the earth. Thou hast made summer and winter." I'm quoting that verse, brethren, because of so much that we hear today and the fear that there is. You know, about our earth. How long is it going to last? Will the whole thing erupt? Is there anybody in control? Is there anybody in charge of the flood? Is there anybody in charge of the global warming? Thou hast set all the borders of the earth. Thou hast made summer and winter. And we have that great verse there. It came to my mind just last night. I was thinking of it there. And we have it there in the book of Genesis. There in the chapter 8. And I think it's the verse 20. There in Genesis. Harvest time. Springtime. Winter. Summer. Cold and heat. It will not cease. Oh dear child of God. I say it to you. I have to say it to my own heart as well. We're living in fearful days. We're living in difficult days. But how up to date the word of God is. How up to date the word of the Lord is. That there is one in control. There is one who rules in the heavens. Over all this world of ours. And he holds everything in his hand. Doesn't Daniel remind us of that? There in Daniel 4 and the chapter 4 and the chapter 5, the Most High ruleth in the kingdoms of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. There's a consolation for the Christian. Our meditation of him shall be sweet. This dear man in the parable thought that the things of the world would satisfy his soul. But oh, the folly of it all. Let us eat, drink, and be merry. Tomorrow we die. Tomorrow we die. You remember the words, I'm sure you've heard them before, of one of the early church fathers, Augustine. And my, how true they are. We are restless. We are restless until we find our rest in thee. That's just the way it is. How can we account for the restlessness today? The unhappiness and the confusion and the disappointments. Augustine was right. He experienced this himself, as I'm sure many of us did. We are restless until we find our rest in the disappointment. You remember the words of our Savior, John chapter 6, and in the verse 35, he says, "I am the bread of life, the bread of life. And he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." Is there somebody hungry today in the congregation, some young person? I don't mean physically hungry. I mean spiritually hungry. Is there somebody listening in today online? You're hungry. You're hungry. Restless. Oh, dear soul, today let me point you to the Savior. The bread of life. He satisfies. He meets our every need. The hunger that is within. The world can't do it. There's nothing in the world can do it. Money can't do it. Riches can't do it. Isn't it true that some of the most miserable, unhappy people today are rich, wealthy, not just with perhaps millions, but billions behind them? They're not happy. This man here was not happy. The bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth in me shall never thirst. Never thirst. He satisfies, and only Christ. Now none but Christ can satisfy, as we often sing. None other name for me. There is love and life and lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in thee. Have you found it? It is in Christ, not in the world. Not in the world. But there's another thing about this man as well I want to mention just. This man here thought he had plenty of time, as I've already mentioned. He thought there was many years before him. He says, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Many years, much goods laid up. But God said unto him, thou fool, thou fool. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? God says you're a fool. This very night your soul is required of thee. Oh, how quickly things can change. An old preacher said, this man didn't realize, but he said, the very flowers are waiting for to be put upon his coffin in the florist. He didn't realize that. Someone was going to go in, some family. The flowers are there waiting to be put upon his coffin, and he's talking about years. You remember the words of James in his epistle, chapter 4 and the verse 14. Thou knowest not what shall be on the morrow. You see, he's talking there in chapter 4 about the rich man. And they said, well, we're going to go to such and such a city, and there we're going to abide for a year, and we're going to trade. And then we're going to go on to another city. And James says, you're a pack of fools. You don't even know what's on tomorrow, and you're planning for years ahead to build up your wealth and your empire. You're idiots. We don't know what is going to be on the morrow. Dear soul, if the Lord were to call upon you this day, and if you were to be ushered into the presence of God today, where would you be in eternity? Are you ready? Are you ready? We look forward, and I suppose it's in us all to a certain extent. We're talking about next year and the year after. Yes, I know. I know the businessman has to make certain plans. He might have to plan ahead for things. It is so with the farmer. He has to lay down certain plans. And there's nothing wrong with that. But you see, the Christian, the believer, is one who holds all things in their proper place, in their own perspective. The believer is laying down plans, perhaps he must do so, because of his work and because of his business. But at the same time, he realizes that it is all in the hand of God. And he believes the words of James, where James says, where we ought to say, if God will. If God will, we're going to do this and that and the other. If God will, it's all in the hand of God. And if he wills it, it'll come to pass. But if God wills it, he can take us from the whole thing very quickly, in an instant, in a moment of time. We know not what shall be on the morrow. How true the words of the hymn writer, life at best is very brief. Like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf, be in time, be in time. God said to this man, he says, this night thy soul, how many believe today, how many really believe today that they have a soul? Oh no, it's all about the body. Let's get the restaurants opened. And the cafes and the dances and the pubs and everything else. No thought of the soul. But man is more than a body. He's got a soul. He's got a spirit that will never, ever die. Where will your soul be in eternity? No wonder he's called here a fool. The madness. And that madness is in us all by nature. Until we are saved and born again of God's Holy Spirit. Be in time, the hymn says, more than a body. In the verse 23 we read these words, the life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Life is more than what we put on and what we eat and the house and everything else and the business. It's more than that. It's about knowing God and having fellowship with Him. Jesus says, but rather, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. At the end of it all, what do we have? Well, if we have a roof over our head, and a bed to lie in, and enough to eat, we have everything. You've heard the story of Alexander the Great, I'm sure, many a time. That man who had conquered country after country. A mighty general with a mighty army. But coming near his death, he said to his friends in preparation for his funeral. And back in those days, they were carried just on a kind of an open, what we call an open coffin. An open box. And he says, I want you to carry my remains. And I says, I want my two hands out either side of the box, hanging. His friends were amazed at him. And they said, why? They were expecting, of course, he'd want something very, very pomp. He says, why would you want that? He says, I want everyone to see. I want everyone to know. After all I gained and conquered, I'm going out empty-handed. I'm going out empty-handed. Then who shall these things be? I could say something about that. I'm not going to go down that road. Who's going to have them all at the end? What disputes might there be about the whole thing? Yes, we enjoy what God has given. You bless the Lord for your business, for your farm, and for your industry. But seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added on to you. Let us sing now together in closing, as we close our meeting today, the last hymn that we sing together.
Thank you.
Oh, our blessed Father, we who are saved and converted today, we bow in prayer, Lord, we would give ourselves afresh to Thee. God, help us, we ask of Thee. May our meditation of Him indeed be sweet. Lord, we pray You'll save the unsaved. Save them now. May they lift up their hearts. May they lift up their hearts and cry, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me. Take charge and take control of my whole life. Thou art able. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Part us with Thy blessing. Keep Thy hand upon us. Grant everyone a safe journey home. In Jesus' name, amen.